Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for praying. Today is the first day of the last week of our winter series, our 8-week series. Kind of when I say that, it kind of reminds me of that saying, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Have you heard that one? Sounds kind of a little bit corny, but it's true. Especially if you're a Christian, it's true, because His mercies are new every morning. Right? So every day you have the opportunity to make a fresh start. We shouldn't take that lightly, because that's really big. That's significant. Every day when you get up, you know, you have an opportunity to say, this is a whole new day. God gives you that opportunity. That's awesome. But today is the first day of the last week of our series, 5 Things God Uses to Grow Our Faith. And those 5 things are practical teaching, I don't know if I got them in order, personal ministry, private disciplines, providential relationships, and pivotal circumstances. Everybody remembers that one. Pivotal circumstances. Okay, and how many of you know the memory verse off by heart? Some of you are going like this. Oh, dear. What's that, Wanda? Oh, they are. That's why something kind of. Yeah. Some people find memory work hard. I have to be careful, because I've never found it hard, and so I have to be really careful that I don't get judgmental of people that don't memorize things. But I think some of it is the fact that we don't have to. You know, we got like 5 of these at home that we can go and grab. But I can guarantee you, if I picked you up and plunked you down in one of those countries that we were talking about earlier, and suddenly you didn't have the Bible, and you didn't have any overhead projector, your memory would get a whole lot better real quick. Because a lot of times we don't force ourselves to memorize, and we should push ourselves in that area. But work on it. We're going to give you, the good news is we're giving you all year to learn the memory verse. Okay. Now some people are memorizing whole entire books of the Bible. Okay, we're asking you to memorize 2 verses, Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Okay, so make it one of your goals for the year. Oh, in places it would be your life. It would mean your life. That's right, Eugene. Yeah, that's very, very true. 5 things that grow our faith. I want for us this morning to take this morning. By the way, we've been getting really positive feedback. People have found this series very helpful, very practical, and they've gotten a lot of practical help from it, which I'm very pleased to hear that and get that feedback. This morning, I'd like to focus this time on making sure that we have a really good understanding of how important this all is. That we, when we talk about our faith and why it is important that we have faith and that our faith is growing, and exactly what it means when we talk about our faith. Now, I know some of you went to sleep on that last sentence. I could see your eyes going close. And part of it is because I can hypnotize you if I want to, all right? I do have the power to do that. All I have to do is just get really, really monotone, okay? And as you sit there long enough and you get comfortable enough, you will, it'll happen. But we're not going to let that happen, right? Say it to yourself. He's not going to hypnotize me. Okay? Faith is an exciting subject. It really is. Let's go to the chapter of the Bible that is often called the faith chapter. It's where? Hebrews chapter 11. And let's read together from Hebrews chapter 11. Was that on the screen when I asked you that? Okay, good. Yeah, it's called the faith chapter sometimes. It's Hebrews chapter 11 verses. This morning we're just going to read through the first six verses, and we're going to really focus our attention on the sixth verse of Hebrews chapter 11. All right. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that when what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. That's Abel. He speaks, his blood speaks, even though he is dead. His faith speaks. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Now, he's going back here, back to the very beginnings of the account in Genesis. And he's talking about people who had faith in God. And that they were commended for their faith. That God was pleased with them because of their faith. Okay? And he mentions Abel, and he mentions Enoch. And if you go past verse 6, he mentions a whole lot of other people like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and so on. But when we come to verse 6, and that's really where we want to park for a while on this verse this morning and kind of unpack it a little bit together. In verse 6, he says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. How important is our faith to God? Well, it's important enough that the writer of Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you go to the Gospels and you have Jesus saying this, all things are possible to him who believes. And here the writer of Hebrews is saying it is absolutely impossible to please God without faith. In other words, faith is not just something that is nice to have. You know, it's nice to have a little faith. You know, or people will say, well, everybody should have a little religion. That kills me. Anyways, faith is not just something that's nice to have. And it's not something that if we don't have it, that's okay because we'll just substitute something else for it. You know, like if we don't have any faith, well, that's okay. We'll make up for it. You know, we'll have some goodness. Or we'll have some kindness. Or we'll have some courage. God says, no, it doesn't work that way. Because you can have all things, but if you don't have faith, you can't please God. Doesn't matter how bold you are, how honest you are, how courageous you are, how kind you are. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And when you start to get an understanding of that, then you can have a more of an appreciation for why it is that when you read the Gospels and you see Jesus coming, walking down that dusty Galilean road and he runs into a man like this centurion and he sees his faith and he goes, wow! That's amazing. And he goes a little farther and he runs into some people that just are lacking in faith and he's so disappointed. And then later on he runs into people who are getting in the way of somebody else's faith and he gets really, really, really upset. Why? Well, it's because faith is that important. Our faith is that important to God. Without faith, it is, mark it, impossible to please God. Not just difficult, impossible. Why? Why? Well, the answer is right there. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently or earnestly seek him. What does that describe to you? I would suggest it describes a relationship. Those who come to him, that's a relationship. Those who seek him earnestly, that is a relational concept. In fact, I would suggest to you that faith is relational. And the reason that God feels so strongly about you and I having faith is because he feels so desirous for us to have a relationship with him. That's what God wants. That's what his goal is, that you and I have a relationship, a personal relationship with him. Those are our relational terms. It's not academic. Faith involves the truth, but it is primarily truth about someone. And that someone is God. Please take note that having faith is more than knowing about God. You can know a lot of stuff about God and not know God. Because there's a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. Right? There's a difference. It's not just an academic thing. You know, some of us are good at knowing stuff. We can know a lot of stuff if we apply ourselves, you know. We can know a lot of stuff about the Bible. We can know a lot of stuff about church. We can know a lot of stuff about life. We can know a lot of stuff about people. We can know a lot of stuff about the things around us and where we live and what's going on. We can know a lot of stuff, even know stuff about God, but not know God. It might surprise you, or maybe it won't, to know there are a lot of people who know a lot about God who do not know God. And there's a difference. Those of you who are married, well, let's pick on the men because that's always more fun and safer. If I were to ask you, do you believe in your wife? And you were to say yes. And I would say, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? Do you mean that she exists? Sure, I believe in my wife. I have every confidence that she exists. She's real. Is that what you mean? Well, let me change the question. You're at work. You leave for work. You get up tomorrow morning and your wife tells you she's going to get groceries at Sobeys. And you get to work and later on in the afternoon you run into one of your buddies and he says, hey, I just seen your wife. She was down the other side of town. Which is not where Sobeys is. Well, it's the first thought that goes through your mind. Well, for most of you, and I'm gonna hope for all of you, the answer is absolutely nothing. Because that means nothing. And the reason it means nothing is because you immediately assume that there was a very good reason why she was on the other side of town. Why? Because you know her and you believe in her. Which means you trust her. Which is what the word believe means. Because it is a relational word. In fact, in the Old Testament, the word trust is the common word for faith. And it is the basis for all relationships. Do you remember what Andy Stanley said when we started this series? The very first session, he said this. He said, the whole Bible is about God wooing men and women back into a faith-based relationship with Him. And then he went on to say, the goal is intimacy with God. Not Bible knowledge, which just makes us Bible snobs. Not obedience even, which just without trust or faith makes us legalistic and judgmental. The goal is intimacy with God. He's talking about a relationship. That is what God wants, and that's why faith is absolutely critical. And that is why without faith it is impossible to please God, because without faith you can't have a relationship with God. Without faith, without trust, you can't have a relationship with anyone, especially God. Now I want to take this a step further this morning. The reason that God wants to have a relationship with us is because God is a person and He loves us. But while God is a person, He is a person like none other. And the relationship that He calls us to is a relationship unlike any other relationship. How? How so? How is this relationship really fundamentally different than the relationship, than other relationships that we would have in our lives? Well, I want to again suggest to you that it is made different by the virtue of who God is. Now follow me on this, please. When this passage says that it is impossible, without faith it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Literally, it says, must believe that He is. A literal reading of the Greek in Hebrews 11:6 says, he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He rewards those who seek Him. When we read it in the in New International Version, and a lot of versions actually put the word exists in there, but in the Greek and in the Hebrew, in the Jewish mind, there was a precedent for leaving that word out. Do you remember when Moses was in the desert and God appeared to Moses out of the burning bush? Spoke to Moses out of the burning bush and said, Moses, I want you to go to Egypt. I've heard the cries of my people and I've come to rescue them. I want you to go. Do you remember that? And Moses was pretty reluctant. And as you can imagine, somebody comes to you and asks you to do something of that size and magnitude, that's a huge calling, right? And so Moses was very fearful about the whole situation. And so in the course of the dialogue, he says to God, he says, well, if I go to Egypt and I gather the people together, who am I supposed to tell them sent me? Who am I speaking on behalf of? Or in other words, if you want to really read the lines, between the lines, really what he's saying is, who really are you, God? And do you remember what God's response to Moses was? Some of you remember because you took the By This Name course. God said, I am. And when you go to Egypt, tell them, I am sent you. Now, if you find that confusing at all, really, it's not really meant to be confusing, because your existence depends on something. And the fact that you're here today, breathing, is only because God hasn't decided to withdraw your breath. The fact that you're here today and your heart is actually beating is only because God has decided not to stop it. Because at any point in time, if God were to withdraw his hand from your life, even if you don't recognize his hand in your life, you would cease to be. You are, whether you recognize it or not, completely dependent upon his existence for anything and everything. That's what it means to be a human being created by God. But what does it mean to be God? You see, when this passage says that it is impossible without faith to please God because he who comes to God must believe that he exists, it doesn't just mean that God wants us to believe that he exists. I know you say, well, that's what it says. Well, no, it doesn't say that. It says, must believe that he is. Question, he is what? Answer, he is God. Not just any God. The God. The God of Scripture. The God of Revelation. The God of the Bible. The God who said to Moses, I am. And when you come into the New Testament and you hear Jesus, and you see Jesus Christ, God incarnate in the flesh, and when he is going on the go-round with the religious leaders, and they're talking to him about Abraham and bragging up on Abraham and everything, and at one point Jesus looks to them and he says those words that surely just confounded them to no end. He said, listen, guys, before Abraham was, I am. And after they get over the shock, they picked up stones to stone him because they realized the implication of what he was saying. It is impossible to please God without faith. For he who comes to him, relationship, he who comes to him, must believe that he is what? That he is God. What God? The God. Who? The God of Scripture. The infinite one. The eternal one. The holy one. The judge of all the earth. The creator God, who is almighty and eternal and infinite. Who is holy. Who holds not only this whole universe in his hand, but your very life. Whose presence fills the earth, who loves you so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you, to pay the price for your sin and mine, so that we could have a relationship with him. That's the God that the author of Hebrews is talking about. Don't think when you read this verse that it's teaching us that it's acceptable to say, oh, I believe in God. How many people do you run into and say you believe in God? Is God pleased with that? Doesn't even fizz him. In fact, James says what? The demons believe. Now, this is relationship. This is relationship, folks. And it's relationship with the one true God. The God who is judge of all the earth, it says in Genesis chapter 18, and Savior of the world. Savior of the world. Must believe that he is. He is what? He is God. Come to him as God. Seek him as God. Now, when you, Dave, will you bring that passage up just one more time there? I just want to point out one more thing to you this morning, and this is important. We're talking about faith. And how important it is, without faith, it's impossible to please God. What is it? It's a relational term where we trust in the one true God who has revealed himself in all the ways we've just been thinking about and talking about. But as you read the passage again, I want you to notice, if you would, that to have a relationship with God is to have your faith focused on him. This is one of the ways that this relationship is unlike other relationships. As it's different because of who he is. It's also different because the focus is completely on him. We sang a song at the conference yesterday. It's a song called Heart of Worship, and most of you are familiar with it. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you. Worship is all about him. When we sing and pray, it's not about us. It's about him. And the truth is that life is about him. Everything is about him. And our faith is all about him. You see, the focus is on him. Let's back up. Anyone who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Faith is seeking him. Faith is seeking him. It's focused on him. Our lives are focused on him. Our faith is focused on him. It's not just faith. It's faith in him. Listen really careful to me. Faith in itself is not a virtue. You can have faith in something and that be just stupid. And that's not a virtue. Stupidity is not a virtue. A virtue is something good. Right? It's not good to believe in something that's not worthy of your trust. Faith is only a virtue when you are believing in what is true and what is right and what is good. And so it's not just faith. And I have to tell you that a lot of times our faith is way, way, way too subjective, because it's supposed to be faith in him. The focus of our faith. So what we tend to do is we talk about our faith, we look inward. If I could just somehow find it within me to muster up more faith. And you know what I say to that? Good luck with that. Because it doesn't work that way. If I can just somehow muster up or fire up or shake up or something, you know, this, my faith. Let me say this to you this morning. I'll guarantee you. I'm going to make you a guarantee this morning, and that doesn't happen very often. But I guarantee you this, that the more you get to know God for real, the greater your faith in him will be. Now, some of you are looking at me going, wow, that is so simple. You know, this guy really is simple. He says sometimes that he has simple thoughts, and this pretty much proves it, because that is so simple. You know, he has an obvious, great ability to state the obvious. But if it's so obvious, why is it that we so often miss it? And we become like Peter. And we say, all right, we're going to have faith. Lord, everybody else will deny you. I'll never deny you, Lord. I'm going to have faith in you, which really isn't faith in him at all. And what happens is I fall on my face, because that's not faith. That's simply presumption on my part, because it's focused on me and what I think I am going to do, or what I have, instead of focusing on him. Now, this might seem really, really simple to you, but as I say, it's something that I see. As we have this tendency to look inward when we think about faith. And faith never, biblical faith, Bible faith, listen, never, ever looks inward. I'm not saying we shouldn't be reflective or we shouldn't evaluate our lives or anything. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about honesty. I'm talking about faith. Faith in the Bible is always directed towards God. In fact, we're told, don't trust in men. And when it says men, it means women. So in other words, don't trust in the person beside you. Don't trust in yourself. Okay? That doesn't mean we're not supposed to trust in one another. But it means that ultimately God is the only one who is completely trustworthy. Completely, absolutely, absolutely trustworthy. Think about it. Think about that. When we talk about faith, we have to really, really be clear. We're not just talking about faith. We are talking about faith in Him. So as I said before, if you really want to grow your faith, you really want to have faith, get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes off other people. Seek Him. You want to grow your faith? Get into that Bible and read, and don't just read it to know it, read it to know Him. Seek Him. Do you remember when we started this series? The very first Sunday, Doug Campbell spoke. That would be 8 weeks ago, I guess. And he showed us an illustration. He had I think it was one of the Norway spruce, Norwegian spruce, which was nice and perky and healthy. And then he had this old dead plant. I don't know where he got the old dead plant, but he got it from somebody. Do you remember that? Okay. Well, that old dead plant is right there. That's it right there. Can you see it? Or do you need me to hold it up for you? This is it right here. Okay. It wasn't really dead. It looked dead. It really did look dead. You know, some of you weren't here to see it, but take my word for it. It really looked dead. It seemed dead. But what happened, what happened between then and now is that Peg Adams, who's not here this morning, but she took that plant, she took it home, and she dug the dirt around, and she pulled off some of the old dead clump roots, and she gave it some really good care and attention, and she watered it, and she put it in the sun, and she fed it, and she cared for it. And 8 weeks later, this is what it looks like. And maybe you're here this morning, and maybe when you think about your faith, maybe you don't feel really terrific. In fact, maybe you're sitting here thinking, when it comes to my faith, my faith sucks. I got good news for you. If you will come to Him, that's relationship. Seek Him, that's relationship. Seek Him. God will grant you faith. God will grow your faith. That's the good news. God will be just like Peggy Adams with this plant. You can tell her I said that. You see, folks, in the passage that we've just been looking at, it says that He is the rewarder, or that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. You go, rewards? Somebody say rewards? Yeah, I like rewards. What do you think that means? Put it up there one more time, Dave, will you? Read the passage, okay? What's the reward? He is the reward. What are we seeking? Him. See, this is the promise. There's a promise here. Don't miss it. The promise is, well, let me quote Jesus. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and a door will be opened. For he, right, seeks, finds. I messed it up, but anyways. You know the verse. You know the passage. He's the reward. If you're here and there's an issue with your faith, I think the answer really is really quite simple, at least according to this passage. God calls us to seek Him. And notice it doesn't just say seek Him, it says earnestly seek Him. It can't be some kind of, you know, it really amazes me that we've taken the scriptures and the gospel and given, and somehow people got the impression, you know, that God is satisfied with a nod. You know, when we use the word believe or the word faith, it's like we're giving God, you know, it's, oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah, I believe in God. Oh yeah, I believe in the Lord. I believe the Bible. Is that what the Bible means when it uses the word faith? Uh-uh. No way. It's relational, and it's all about Him. And we are called to earnestly seek Him. And if we do, there is a promise. He will reward that search. Those who find Him are those who search for Him. He is found by those who seek Him. That's the promise. So, this week, in your groups, you're going to be doing some pretty exciting things. Hang in there. In the weeks and months ahead, I'm not sure what else is going to happen. I think it's probably going to be some pretty significant things happening in our church family. But for just the last moment this morning, before we pray and go, what about what God wants to see happen right now in this moment of time? I think that I would be I don't think I'd be out of line to suggest to you that right now God wants to see us make that kind of commitment, the commitment to seek Him. Would you stand and we'll pray together? For without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I don't know, maybe you're here and you're a long way from seeking God because you don't, you know, you got your own thing going. And that's cool until you get to the point where you're really going to need him. But I understand, because I was there once myself. I didn't have time to think about God. But for those of you who are here and you're in a situation in your life where God's got your attention, and you're wondering, what do I do about that? What do I do? God, what is it you want, God? What is it you want from me? How do I connect with you? How do I have a relationship with you? The answer is right in this passage that we've been looking at. You need to trust him. You need to trust him, and you need to come to him. And you need to look to him, and you need to get your focus off of yourself, and you need to get your focus on him. He loves you. He died for you. He lives for you. He waits for you. He calls you. You come. Put your trust in him. Make a commitment today to seek him earnestly with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and God will honor you, and God will reveal himself to you, and you'll never regret it. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for those who are here this morning. I pray, Father, for all of us as church family, guests present as well, Lord, that you would help us to get our eyes where they need to be, Lord, and our focus where it needs to be. We thank you, Lord, that you've revealed yourself to us in Scripture as an amazing, amazing, infinite, eternal, holy, just, and loving God. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for being who you are. And we put our trust in you. Lord, we come to you. Even now, Lord, we come to you. We ask, Lord, that you would honor us today, at this time. Reward us, Lord, as we seek you. Help us, Father, even from this day forward, to live our lives in such a way that we are pressing into a relationship with you and that we are seeking you earnestly in our lives. I pray, Father, for those who may be here who do not have a relationship with you because they have not put their faith and trust in you, Jesus, Lord, Savior, Master. Please, may you be so pleased as to grant them that they put their trust in you today for eternal life. Even as we stand in this place together and look to you for your favor, Lord. I pray, Father, that there be lights going on for people, that you would open up blind eyes, allow people to see the great and awesome Savior you are, and that they would trust you, that they would come to you. Even now, as people pray in the quietness of their own hearts, that they would come to you, that they would just say, Lord, I need you in my life. I need your forgiveness. I need your mercy. I need your grace. I need your strength. I need the hope that only you can give. And I believe you and I trust you. God will answer that prayer. God will reward you with his presence if you pray that prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this great group of people. Please be inclined, Lord, to continue. Would you please continue, Lord, to grow our faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen.